In the heart of Los Angeles, where dreams are as often made as they are shattered, I found myself standing at the gates of an opportunity that was as intimidating as it was exhilarating. My name is Rebecca, an aspiring actress who, between auditions and callbacks, found a peculiar yet promising way to make ends meet, babysitting for the elite of Hollywood. That evening, my services were required by James and Antonia, a power couple whose names grace the silver screen and the glossy pages of tabloids in equal measure. Their mansion, nestled in a lavish suburban enclave, was a testament to their success. As I drove up the winding driveway, the estate unfurled like a scene from a movie, its opulence unabashed and its secrets well guarded. The architecture was a blend of modernity and timelessness, with sprawling gardens that seemed to whisper tales of the past. The interior was no less impressive, with soaring ceilings, artworks that spoke of rich tastes and richer wallets, and a sense of grandeur that was almost overwhelming. James and Antonia greeted me with smiles that were polished, their demeanor as rehearsed as any script. They were charming, yet there was a distance in their eyes, a detachment that belied their warm words. They introduced me to their twin babies, angels in their cribs, before imparting the house rules. Among them, one was non-negotiable. The home office is off limits, James stated firmly, his gaze locking onto mine to punctuate the importance of this rule. I nodded, not daring to ask why. The couple left soon after, their departure as swift as their entrance. The house, in the absence of its masters, felt different, larger somehow, and filled with whispers of the lavish parties and silent screams of secret despair that had traversed its halls. I busied myself with caring for the twins, their laughter a welcome respite from the eerie silence that the mansion now harbored. As dusk turned to night, a transformation began. The mansion, a beacon of luxury by day, became a canvas for shadows by night. The walls, which had proudly displayed their opulent art, now seemed to close in, harboring darker tales. A cold draft meandered through the corridors, originating from nowhere yet felt everywhere, chilling me to the bone. It was then that the unexplained occurrences began. Shadows darted across the walls, not in tandem with any light or movement. An antique music box, its origin and location unknown, filled the halls with a haunting melody that seemed to have no beginning and no end. The twins, too, changed. Their babble turned into unison whispers, their voices unnaturally deep, their eyes fixated on something unseen, drawn inexplicably towards the forbidden office. I tried to convince myself that it was all a product of my imagination, a side effect of the mansion's intimidating beauty and the stories that lingered in its shadows. But as the night progressed, the bizarre events escalated, each new occurrence more unsettling than the last. The mansion, with all its luxuries, began to feel like a prison, its opulence a facade for something far more sinister lurking beneath. Caught between my responsibility for the twins and my growing fear, I found myself standing at a crossroads of curiosity and dread. The home office, with its forbidden allure, called to me. Despite the warnings, despite the fear that clenched at my heart, I felt an undeniable pull towards it, a compulsion to uncover the secrets that James and Antonia so fiercely guarded. Little did I know, my steps towards the office were the first into a night that would test the limits of my courage, unraveling horrors that lay hidden within the mansion's luxurious veneer. The truth behind the twins' bizarre behavior, the source of the cold drafts and shifting shadows, and the melody that haunted the halls were all threads in a tapestry of terror that I was about to unravel. The mansion's once comforting silence had transformed into a cacophony of whispers and shadows, each corner seeming to hold its breath, waiting for something sinister to unfold. As the twins' behavior grew increasingly bizarre, their once innocent eyes now mirrored depths I couldn't fathom, speaking in unison with voices that seemed to echo from another world. Their fixation on the Forbidden Office grew, as if an invisible string pulled their consciousness towards it, leaving their laughter hollow, their playtime forgotten. The night, draped in its velvet darkness, seemed to press against the windows, eager to penetrate the mansion with its unseen, watchful gaze. It was in this oppressive atmosphere that the unexplained occurrences began to escalate, each event more bizarre than the last. Shadows darted across the walls, not merely flickers of light, but as if they were entities, sentient and mocking, playing a game of hide and seek. A cold draft, persistent and unyielding, wound its way through the halls, emanating from empty rooms, its source as elusive as the shadows. But what unsettled me the most was the music box, its melody, haunting and beautiful, played on its own, filling the mansion with a tune that seemed to belong to another era. Despite my efforts, I couldn't locate the music box, its sound a ghostly serenade that had no discernible origin. As the night wore on, my unease turned into dread. The mansion, a labyrinth of luxury and hidden fears, seemed to close in on me. The air grew thicker, charged with a presence I couldn't see but felt, as tangible as the marble beneath my feet. "This can't be happening. It's just a house, just kids. Focus, Rebecca," I whispered to myself, a futile attempt to dispel the growing terror. But the mansion and its inhabitants had other plans. The twins, now eerily quiet, stood at the threshold of the hallway, their eyes fixed on the office door, a silent challenge to the boundary I had been warned not to cross. Driven by a mix of concern for the children and a desperate need for answers, I made a decision that would alter the course of the night irreversibly. My steps toward the office were hesitant, each one a battle against the fear that clawed at my resolve. The door, imposing and unyielding, stood between me and the secrets it guarded. With a deep breath, I reached for the handle, the metal cold and foreboding beneath my fingers. The door creaked open, revealing a room bathed in moonlight, its contents shadowed and indistinct. The air inside was heavy, laden with the scent of old paper and something else, something darker. The office was a shrine to knowledge and forbidden lore. Bookshelves lined the walls, their volumes ancient and bound in leather that whispered of centuries past. But it was the symbols that drew my gaze, etched into the furniture, their designs complex and unsettling. Amidst the tomes of history and philosophy lay books that spoke of demonic entities and rituals, their pages filled with illustrations that chilled the blood. One book lay open, its pages illuminated by the moon's pale light. The illustration on the spread depicted an ancient demon, its power growing with each turn of the page. But then, in an illustration that seemed out of place yet eerily fitting, a little girl stood holding a bloodied silver fork against the devil, causing him to recoil in fear. The realization hit me with the force of a physical blow. The twins, their behavior, the unexplained phenomena, they were all connected to something deeply malevolent, something that had roots in the very foundation of the mansion and its owner's past. As I stood there, absorbing the horror of my discovery, the mansion seemed to awaken fully. Mirrors reflected twisted landscapes, grotesque apparitions emerged from the walls, and disembodied voices filled the air, a symphony of the damned that echoed through the opulent halls. The night had only just begun, and the true horror of what lay within the mansion's walls was slowly revealing itself piece by terrifying piece. The air in the office grew colder, a palpable presence of something ancient and malevolent surrounding me. The books on the shelf seemed to stare back, each spine a silent testament to knowledge best left undiscovered. The symbols etched into the furniture now felt like a warning, a grim invitation to a world beyond my understanding. As I stood in the heart of the mansion's hidden darkness, the twins' laughs echoed up the stairwell, their tone chillingly monotone. It sent a shiver down my spine. The realization that the twins were not just possessed, but overtly malevolent, sent waves of panic through me. And then they started speaking of a master. The mansion itself seemed to respond to the twins' declaration, the atmosphere thickening, shadows stretching and contorting into grotesque shapes. Mirrors, once reflective of the mansion's opulent interiors, now showcased twisted, nightmarish figures of young women covered in blood, in the realms of despair and desolation that defied the laws of nature. Apparitions, their forms grotesque and twisted, began to emerge from the walls, their presence a blight upon the physical world. The air was filled with disembodied voices, a cacophony of whispers, cries, and laughter that seemed to come from everywhere and nowhere. In a desperate attempt to protect the twins and myself, I ventured deeper into the office, drawn to the open book with its illustrations of demonic entities. The image of the little girl holding a bloodied silver fork against the devil resonated with me. It was a symbol of resistance, of power and innocence and purity that could repel even the most malevolent forces. The twins' behavior became increasingly erratic as well, their movements jerky and unnatural, as if puppeteered by unseen hands. They spoke of the sacred lady watching over them, a guardian of their twisted reality, hinting at a connection between the mansion's current horrors and rituals long forgotten. Amidst the chaos, a plan began to form in my head. The illustration in the book, the children's unnatural connection to the entity they called their master, and the ancient symbols all pointed to a ritualistic foundation for the horrors unfolding. And this was when I was truly convinced that both James and Antonia were somehow involved. If I could understand the ritual, perhaps I could find a way to break the connection, to banish the entity back to the darkness from which it came. The mansion, with its shifting shadows and endless rooms, now felt like a living entity, a maze designed to disorient and trap. And then I found the ritual chamber, hidden behind the office's bookshelf, which revealed the true depth of the darkness. The chamber was a grotesque cathedral of horror, its walls adorned with more symbols, candles arranged in sinister patterns, and a small blood-stained altar at its center. And then I heard a soft voice which shook me in my stride. It said that it was a babysitter once, just like me, but was sacrificed to a satanic demoness who was worshipped there. It added that my sacrifice will keep James and Antonia young and powerful. As the night pressed on, the connection between the twins' affliction and the couple's secret rituals became undeniable. The mansion was not just a home. It was a stronghold of ancient dark magic, a focal point for a power that thrived on pain and suffering. The realization that James and Antonia had orchestrated this nightmare, that they had sacrificed innocence for their own gain, was a betrayal of every sense of humanity I held dear. The previous babysitter's fate, now chillingly clear, was a grim foreshadowing of my own planned end. But as dawn approached, bringing with it a sliver of light to the darkness, I knew I had to act. The ritual that had bound the twins to their master could be broken, but it would require every ounce of courage and wit I possessed. The mansion's once grandeur now felt like a prison, each room a potential trap set by the very forces James and Antonia had summoned. The hidden passageway in the office led me to the heart of their dark practices, the ritual chamber, a room that reeked of malevolence and whispered of unspeakable acts. Standing at the threshold, I felt a surge of determination. I couldn't let fear dictate my actions, not when the twins, innocent pawns in this twisted game, needed me. The chamber was more than I had anticipated. Walls lined with ancient texts, the air thick with the residue of rituals past, and at its center, the altar, stained with the evidence of sacrifices made in the name of power and greed. "This ends tonight. No more innocence will suffer," I spoke to the empty room, my voice steady despite the pounding of my heart. The mansion seemed to listen, the air growing still, as if in anticipation. It wasn't long before the sound of the front door heralded James and Antonia's return. They found me in their sanctum, the place where they believed their power was absolute. The look of surprise on their faces quickly turned to one of rage. You were part of the plan, a necessary sacrifice, but it seems we overestimated your compliance. Their words, dripping with malice, confirmed my worst fears. They had never intended for me to leave the mansion alive. I was to be part of their ritual, a continuation of their pact with a demonic entity for wealth and power. The previous babysitter's fate, a mystery that hung over the town, was now chillingly clear. She had been a sacrifice, just as they intended me to be. But understanding their plan gave me an edge. I knew what they were capable of, and I knew how to disrupt the ritual to save myself and the twins. In a moment of inspiration, I remembered the illustration from the book, the little girl wielding a silver fork against the darkness. It was a symbol of defiance, of purity combating the vilest evil. Scanning the room, my gaze landed on a silver fork, part of the ceremonial items laid out for the ritual. As James and Antonia began to chant, their voices merging in a cacophony of ancient words, I seized the fork. The ritual had started, the air vibrating with the power they summoned. The twins, caught in the grip of the possession, began to chant alongside their parents, their voices unnaturally deep. In a desperate gamble, I stabbed my own hand with the fork, the pain sharp and immediate. Holding it aloft, blood dripping from the wound, I interrupted the flow of the ritual. The reaction was instantaneous. Shadows recoiled as if burned. The chanting ceased, and the room fell into chaos. My actions were sudden, fueled by instinct rather than knowledge. The entity, a shadow within shadows, recoiled from the silver, its form wavering. James and Antonia, their concentration broken, stared in horror as the ritual backfired. The power they sought to control turned on them, their screams filling the room as the darkness they summoned enveloped them. In the aftermath, the mansion seemed to sigh, the oppressive atmosphere lifting as dawn's first light crept through the windows. The twins, released from their possession, collapsed, their small forms shaking with sobs. Gathering them in my arms, I fled the ritual chamber, the mansion's corridors no longer a labyrinth designed to trap, but a path to freedom. As we escaped into the morning light, the mansion behind us felt like a tomb, a monument to the consequences of unchecked ambition and the darkest desires of the human heart. As the first light of dawn painted the sky in hues of gold and pink, I stood outside the mansion, the twins huddled against me. Despite the warmth of the morning sun, a chill lingered in my bones, a reminder of the horrors we had escaped. The mansion, once a symbol of affluence and power, now stood silent, a witness to the night's terrifying events. The police and emergency services swarmed the property, their lights piercing the remaining shadows. I watched, a bystander to the aftermath, as they ventured inside, only to emerge later, their faces etched with confusion and disbelief. James and Antonia were gone, vanished as if swallowed by the mansion itself. The only evidence of the night's ordeal was the ritual chamber, untouched by human hands, yet stripped of its power. The darkness that had once thrived there, now a mere echo. They were here. They were part of something, something evil. My words felt inadequate, a futile attempt to explain the unexplainable. The officers listened, their skepticism palpable, yet unable to dismiss the tangible fear in my voice or the innocence in the twins' tear-stained faces. As the day wore on, the mansion was declared a crime scene, though no bodies were found, no sign of James and Antonia, nor any trace of the demonic presence that had orchestrated the night's terror. It was as if the mansion itself had purged the evidence of its dark past, leaving more questions than answers. The twins, now free from the possession, clung to me, their eyes wide with the memory of their ordeal. They were too young to fully understand what had transpired, yet the experience had left its mark, a shadow that might never fully recede. In their silence, there was a bond, an unspoken understanding that we had faced the darkness together and emerged, if not unscathed, then at least alive. As the authorities began their investigation, piecing together the fragments of the story, I sat with the twins, watching the mansion from a distance. The horrors of the night still echoed in my mind, a reminder of the thin veil that separates our world from the darkness that lurks just beyond our sight. The sun climbed higher, its light a balm to the night's wounds. The twins, exhausted from the ordeal, fell asleep in my arms, their breathing steady and calm. In their innocence, there was hope, a promise that the darkness had not claimed everything. I knew the road to recovery would be long, both for the twins and myself. The trauma of the night's events had changed us, binding us together in a shared experience that few could understand. Yet, in the light of day, the shadows that had seemed so menacing now appeared less formidable, a reminder that even the darkest night must give way to the dawn. As the emergency services packed up, leaving the mansion to its silence, I made a silent vow. I would never forget the horrors we had faced, but I would not let them define us. The twins deserved a future unmarred by the darkness of the past, and I was determined to help them find it. With one last look at the mansion, a symbol of our ordeal, I turned away, the twins safe beside me. The horrors of the night might echo in our memories, but they would not hold sway over our lives. We had survived, and in that survival, there was a strength that no darkness could diminish.